God told Abraham, from the place where you are, if you don't start where you are, you will never start. Or to somebody else, 50 million is not an abundance, all right? Because they're at a particular level. Somebody else, you know, losing $3 million might not be a big deal. But to somebody losing 15,000 naira can be the end of their life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Depending on the level where you are at. Well, you've got to be honest and sincere, right, with that level so it can work. Now, the issue here is if you're on 50,000, I'm not using figurative terms now, and what you can believe for is 100,000, once you get the 100,000, right, it develops confidence, and then you can now reach for 200, all right, or 400, and then it develops confidence. But if you say, I'm going from 50 to 1 million, and your faith cannot carry that 1 million, you'll be stuck there, maybe for 4 years, 5 years, struggling, and nothing will happen. So it's from the place where you are that your eyes, as far as your eyes can see. This is what my eye can see here. If I handle that, then I'm moving from faith to faith, from glory to glory, right? I'm building my capacity, okay? David was able to kill Goliath because he had killed the bear and the lion. If he didn't do that, he wouldn't have been able to confront Goliath, even though God was there. He wouldn't have been able, no other person could do it because they didn't have that kind of work. So if you can deal there with 100,000, you know, it won't be long, right, when you can now move to a million. But if you start talking the talk on the outside that doesn't register in your heart, you're exercising yourself above that which your heart can carry, then nothing will happen in your life. I remember it was a match or so many years ago when Glenn Hoddle, or I still used to play, and it was probably his last match as a player, and was the captain of the team. I think it was Tottenham Hotspur they were playing in a cup final. And he felt he didn't have to get into the field. But then they played and they were 2-0 down, or 2 goals down, and he came on the field. And when he got on the field, he just did this to them, one. And he understood what he was doing. He just said this, one. He just kept saying, one. All right, don't think about trying to score 2 goals. It's too heavy for you. Think about one. Once you put one in, your confidence level is going to go up. All right? If you can move to 100, your confidence level goes up. All right? That's why the Bible says, cast not away your confidence, but call to remembrance the former days, when you were first illuminated. That, listen, there is something about somebody who has had victories within their life. So don't ignore small victories. Go for those things there. All right? Don't begin to reach. And many people get stuck. They'll tell you this dream and the dream, you know, you can't even quantify it inside your heart. All right? But if you begin to build from one, then doors begin to open. And you start going from one level to the next level, to the next level there, and to the next level. So we have the generic word of God, which means the general promise of God. And then you look into your heart and find in specific terms what your faith can carry at this particular point in time. And then you communicate that to God in prayer. Now, I want to show something. All right? Now, and this is the message I want to preach today. I said all that to build us up here in terms of praying, which means be specific, all right? You know, you pray according to God's will and all of that, you know, but when he shows you his will, then you get specific in that will. So with somebody who is earning 50 million, if we talk about abundance, all right, then the abundance goes to maybe 250 million. Okay, somebody who is earning 250,000, the abundance is 250,000 naira. That's why you can go outside and see a boy crying who lost 500 naira, and he's about to die. You know, and you are wondering, what is your problem? And he says, it is the 500 naira I lost. And you say, you want to die because of this, and you can't go home. Because that is his life. Now, to you, you just bring out the 500 naira and give him without thinking, and say, go in peace. That's how somebody else, 50 million too, they bring it out. Is it 50 million that is killing you like this, that you can't wake up? Here is the 50 million, take it, and you know you can go, and he doesn't think about it. So it depends on capacity there. From level, I mean, I have my old Bible at home, all right, maybe 1989 or something, and wanted to give a sacrificial offering. You know how much it was? 50 naira. Look, listen, I wrote it there. It was there, we were given a sacrificial offering. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you understand this? I mean, God forbid that I'm looking for 59 now. That go 59. I'm worried about it. But that was my size then. But if I began to talk million, 2 million, when 50 naira is your level, have you met those kind of people? They will still be talking 2 million 15 years down the line. You know, they are still multimillionaires. It's going to, a bundle of success going to bust somewhere. That, you know, that kind of talk that is not connected to reality. All right? So it's important. So I want to get into something here. Now, if we look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. All right? It tells us that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness first, peace, and then joy in the Holy Ghost. So God's government, God's kingdom, all right, his power there is righteousness, peace, and joy. When you have those three in operation, you have the kingdom government in operation, either in the life of that person or in that place. Now, quickly in this book of Romans, let's take a brief look at what righteousness is. In Romans chapter 1 here and verse 16, Romans 1, 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Now, this righteousness of God, if we go to chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul speaking about this said this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So he was praying for Israel, their salvation. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." But he said there's one problem, but it is not according to knowledge. So they were zealous, but there was no knowledge, no direction. They didn't have the right knowledge. So they were just zealous doing many things. He said, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about." You see, Paul had prayed for them. He prayed and prayed for the salvation of Israel. As an apostle, he prayed, God save them. And as he prays deep into God, God showed him that, look, it can't happen now. And he said, listen, one thing that was lacking in their life was the revelation of God's righteousness. They were completely ignorant of this righteousness. He says they were zealous, but not according to knowledge. That word knowledge there is the knowledge, which is a particular knowledge, all right? And it was the knowledge of God's righteousness, God's system. They were ignorant and going about to establish their own. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So they were going about doing several things. And what they were trying to do was to, all right, establish their own. They didn't submit. And so a person can be in a situation, let's put it this way. Let's say, well, someone lost their job. And instead of, first of all, getting a revelation of God's righteousness for that situation, what they do is they are going about and doing several things, and what they're doing in several things is trying to establish their own righteousness. In other words, they're trying to establish that. But God has already provided, he's made provision, he has his own righteousness. He says, let me reveal that righteousness to you. And then Paul went on and said, this righteousness that is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not who shall ascend, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. So the woman with the issue of blood had gone around to try to establish her own righteousness, had spent all that she had. And then one day she received the revelation of God's righteousness there and understood who Jesus was and the provision that Jesus had made. And she realized that she was wasting her time going around the entire place. And she followed after that righteousness. For what saith it? The word that you have heard is nigh thee, that revelation, in thy mouth and inside your heart. So she just kept saying that if prayer is going to work, Paul said, I was praying. If prayer is going to work, the person you are praying for must be making All right, declaration of God's word. Somebody came to see me after midweek service Wednesday in Yaba. And he said, Pastor, you know, I need you to pray for me. And he said, you know, let me just tell you about my situation. My entire life has scattered. This happened. And he began the story of how things have gone wrong for the last 15, 20 years. I said, hold it. My prayer will not work. No prayer of anybody under the sun will work. I said, listen. And I felt bad. I said, how long have you been in this church? You can't be saying you are going to be finished. Everything has scattered. And anybody can pray you out of that situation. The Bible says, he said, this is what I did not see in them. They were zealous. They were doing many things, all right? But he says, they didn't have the knowledge that the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and inside thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That what God shows you, all right, place on your lips, concern that situation, start declaring it. The woman with the issue of blood said, I found out, if I will just touch the hem of his garment. And she kept declaring that, and kept declaring that, and kept declaring that. So it's important. We get the revelation of his righteousness. His word goes on our lips. We talked about this last week and gets into our heart. Now, if we now go to Isaiah chapter 55, I want to connect this to the joy and peace. And I want to see something. Isaiah 55 here. It tells us in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Now, this is that righteousness, and I will show this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down from and snow from heaven, and doesn't return, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and to board, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, what is that rain that is pouring? If you put on the screen Isaiah 45 and verse 8, it says, drop down ye heavens, Isaiah 45, 8, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, let righteousness spring up together. So what is coming as rain from heaven is the rain of righteousness, the revelation of God's thoughts, the revelation of his ways. As the heavens are higher, so are my thoughts. So the thoughts of God to the woman with the issue of blood, you are made whole. The way of God to her, if you will just touch the hem of his garment, you will be made whole. So it tells us, for as rain cometh and snow, and then it says in verse 11, so shall my word be, that's a revelation, all right, that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Now that's the point, right? It literally says, it will not return. Now, we've thought that that word means, if I say it, it won't return to God. What God is saying is that when I speak my word, he said, if my word in anybody returns back to me, he said, it will not be void in the life of that person. In other words, he says, search the scriptures. You think in them you have eternal life. They testify of me. And you don't bring that testimony, that word to me, that you might have life. In other words, the woman with the issue of blood received the testimony of Jesus as Christ the healer. That if I touch this man's clothes, all this money I've been spending, I just wasted it. I will be made whole. So God reveals his word to you. He says, now, take that word and return that word back to me in prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Which means, all right, in the context of what I've said, bring it back to me in prayer. And it says if you bring it back and it returns to God, those that return that word, Moses was to return the word to God. Elijah returned that word to God. He says if you do that in prayer, it tells us, it says it shall not be void. That word void means you won't be empty-handed. Neither will you be unfruitful. You will be fruitful if his word returns back unto him. Then he goes on and says, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Now what we are saying here, righteousness is the word, the revelation, right? The righteousness that is of faith speaketh on this wise. The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. Then the word returns back to God in prayer. So this person says, Lord, I'm asking for this 100,000. Based on your word, he returns the word back unto God. And he says, it will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I've sent it. Now, what are the two things that will be the outcome of this? You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Remember, it tells us in Philippians, it tells us that make your request known unto God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Which means this peace is talking about here is when you take the word back to God in prayer, it says, and you pray that word and you pray it as your tomb. All right, you take the word of God, you know, well, I'm confronted with this situation here. And then I take the scriptures that fit that situation. I place them on my lips. I'm declaring them. I enter into prayer. I stay in the place of prayer until I break into a place of peace concerning it that guards my mind there. It says, then you have gotten the results of your praying. Remember, of the increase of his government and peace. When you enter into peace, the government of God has come on the earth. When he says, thy kingdom come, you see, that is that peace. Of the increase of the government, when peace comes into it, I'm going somewhere with it. When you pray and you enter into peace, God's government has moved into that situation. His throne is there. All right? Then it talks about joy. You say, well, show us where that joy in prayer. Go to John chapter 16 and verse 19. Now, follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. It says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said, do you inquire among yourselves that I said a little while you shall not see me and again a little while and you shall see me? Verily I say unto you, you shall weep and lament. The world will rejoice with you and something will happen and the world around will be happy and you will be sorrowful. But he said, your sorrow will be turned to joy. He said, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour has come. Now, as a Christian, if you have sorrow in your spirit, all right, not that anything on the outside might not be, but you're just sorrowful in your heart, all right, it means you are pregnant with something that has not yet been born. This is how God moves us in the realm of the spirit. Jesus said, I am sorrowful at one point, nigh unto death. My heart is heavy. Now, if let's give an example, you're walking in an office, you start getting really sorrowful. What was said is that there is a child of the spirit. There is the next thing God wants to do that is kicking in the womb of your heart. I want to come out. I need you to separate time to birth me. Life will no longer be joyful until I'm born. You will not have that fullness of joy. It says the time has come to give birth. You've got to separate yourself from there and push that child out of your womb there. So it says you're in trouble. Now what happens many times? And when this sorrow comes, you'll be surprised. We go and eat. We go and sleep. We know that something is changing on the inside. We don't interpret it as going to enter into prayer to bring it out. Right? We respond in the flesh to it. Then he went on and said, but as soon as she's delivered of a child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Now, I want you to see this as prayer. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and this joy no man taketh away from you. In other words, you're going to give birth to something that no man, all right, will be able to take away from you. That is what he's trying to get out of your life. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. That day of sorrow. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. So that's how you get it, our prayer. He will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be what? Full. In other words, when he says, if we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have received the petition we've desired of him. So what happens, he tells us, when you pray to a place where you enter into peace and you enter into joy there, right? You are joyful there. And you pray out that burden. That's what they call it, praying the burden through. You pray out that burden. You enter into a place of peace. It says that thing has been born there. That thing has entered into the affairs, all right? Something has happened. It has entered into the environment. The government of God is now established on the outside within your life. Even though it's not yet visible, you've entered into joy. That's why James said, if any man be afflicted, let him pray. He said, if he's merry, let him sing psalms. In other words, you pray, and when you get into joy, then you start rejoicing, all right, and praising God, and start rejoicing. So when Paul and Silas prayed, and they broke through, then they began to rejoice, and things started happening. Now, so you pray that and enter into a place of peace. You pray that and enter into a place of joy. Same thing Elijah spoke about. Well, there's one more thing I want to show. Remember, Paul closed by saying in Philippians, he said, what you have seen, heard, and learnt in me, do. Now, if we look at Isaiah 30, and this is the last scripture, it says this in Isaiah 30 here. This is so important. All right? God said in verse 15, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and in rest shall you be saved. This returning is that God's word returns back, which means you take the word of God and you return to God with his word. Then you enter into that peace which is called rest. He said you shall be saved in quietness and in confidence. That's the peace of God, mountain God, shall be your strength. But instead of doing that, they said they will not. All right? But he said, no, we will flee upon horses. In other words, we will go and establish our own righteousness. Right? And then he says, this is what will happen. One will flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall you flee till you be left as a beacon on top of the mountain. Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord God is God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He'll be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And here's the point. Though the Lord give thee the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teacher be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way to go. Now, I'll close with this, and so important for Christians. When we pray, that's where we say, well, we entered into joy and peace. A lot of times people now start, well, I prayed this thing, I've entered into joy and peace. He says, when you enter into rest, what is going to happen is that your teacher concerning that thing will show up. So if a person, let's say, is believing God for an increase in their business, there are three types of wisdom in the New Testament. Revelation knowledge is called Sophia, which means the knowledge of the word. There's phronesis, which is like prudence, all right? There's what's called synesthesia, like ability to analyze things. Now, when you pray through, your teacher emerges in your environment. Who is not, that you hear a word is not talking about Bible. It's saying that person will say something to you. In other words, you are doing that. He might not even be conscious about it, but your eyes will see. Not that the teacher is coming to teach. Your own eyes will see. So you might just put on the television or you might pick a book. And as you are listening, somebody just comes out and he's just talking about his own experience in business. And your ear hears a word behind it saying that is the way you should go about it. Which means it says this is the way to go. Which means once you pray through, your teacher is going to show up. That's what Paul was saying. He said whatever things you've seen, heard, do. Which means it's by observation. Right? You're reading a book and suddenly you see something somebody says and God says, this is what you should do, all right, here in this situation. There's not some lofty, you know, this is what you should do to change things. Now, the problem with us in Christianity is that we get so spiritual. When the teacher comes and comes with counsel, just to tell you, that listen, this thing, why don't you change what you are doing this way? It's not working. You are trying to make it. Oh, no. The revelation of God's word, you know, we start going spiritual. Oh, no. The Holy Ghost speaks to me when I want to make, and start going. Somebody tries to tell you Just change this. And let me tell you, every great mistake you have made, somebody warned you before it. Somebody came into your space and said, why don't you change this way? And you said, no. All right? And continued. All right? And that's what he's saying, that your teacher will come there. And you will hear a word behind this saying to you, this is the way to go about that particular thing and walk in it. Now, don't fight it because it wasn't your own idea first. This is what happens. Don't fight it because, you have to make an adjustment. There was a mistake Rick Godwin made once. He said, when he went to God, God told him, why didn't you talk to your father about it? I told your father, if you had gone to meet your father, he would have given you some common sense. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's important in what we're doing that we listen. And you go out after you finish praying to go. I remember when we're going to start multiple services, I rejected it. I didn't want to do it. One day, somebody lost their phone. So I gave the person, I replaced the phone. Someone, they took it. So the person told me, I said I should replace it. So the lady came to meet me, and it was Bishop Keith Butler's book. She said, I want to say thank you. Could you have this book? I said, oh, thank you. I never read that book more than one chapter. I just opened it, first chapter. And I just saw something. And he said, well, God told me to go and start another center from Detroit in Atlanta. And I said to him, okay, we're going to start it. He said, no, you go there. When you finish in Detroit first service, enter your jet and go and land in Atlanta, do second service. So I looked at it. I said, my own is just crossing bridge. I just covered the book and said that, I said to myself, God has spoken to me. I didn't finish the book. All right? Your eyes will see your teachers and you'll hear a word behind this saying, this is the way to go. This is where Christians are missing it. They've prayed, they've fasted, but that thing that just somebody just walks in and says, young man, why don't you just change this? Are you following what I'm saying? Why don't you just change this? Okay? So at your level, function that way. And when your teacher comes and they say something to you, or you observe and you look at it and somebody is saying something and it registers with what you are doing but it's different, take a second look at what they say. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.